show bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone's having an absolutely blessed day today. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm absolutely blessed. Shaking down, pressed together, running over. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. I will commit my plans unto the Lord and they will succeed. And guys, that's the attitude we have to have every single day. Now, real quick, I want to read you something that I wrote this weekend. And I read a whole bunch of stuff this weekend. I mean, I bet I read 200-300 articles. And it's just amazing to me, Austin, this Washington clown show that we have going on right now. And it's like every time we have one crisis and it gets resolved, they move to another crisis. And it's what the media does, because the media wants to make everything a crisis. And the problem is the media, because it's owned by the Rothschild banking cartel through their interlocking corporate directorships and outright stock purchases, it never wants to tell the truth of what's going on and who's doing this circus clown act and who controls who. And it's so frustrating to me that we've got all of these patriots out there, you know, saying all of this stuff and dancing around the tulips. I mean, it's like, you know, Tiny Tim, tiptoe through the tulips back in the 60s or 70s, whenever that song was made famous. But it's what we have. We've got a bunch of people tiptoeing through the tulips and ignoring the obvious. They're ignoring the 700-pound, you know, pink elephant in the room that's a pedophile. They're ignoring all of this stuff. And they're just saying, well, it's not there. The elephant's not there. We're going to pretend like the elephant's not there because there can't be an elephant in the room that's 700 pounds and it's a pedophile. Okay. You can pretend that all you want to pretend. But we've got some serious, serious stuff that's going on in the United States right now. And everybody's just playing around the tulips. You know, Jeff Rentz talks about the truth. You know, Chuck Baldwin talks about the truth. I had an international pastor was confronted by another person who talks about the truth. And basically all they asked him to do was just to denounce the rebuilding of the third temple. That was it. This is an international pastor. And he wouldn't do it. And he came up, well, I've said what I've said, and you know I don't believe it. He said, well, just renounce it. Just renounce this, and we're good. And he wouldn't do it. And you got to ask yourself a question. What the heck happened, and why in the world has it happened, and why is this happening throughout history? Okay, communism is the rationalization and the political motivation to dupe a population to plunder its own nation into oblivion through wealth redistribution in the guise of social equality and other high-sounding fancy stuff. The poor rioting masses get free stuff for a short time, while the economic generators, those that actually produce that free stuff, goes into decline and eventual bankruptcy. Once a nation has been plundered into destitution, it becomes a mere formality to take over the reins of power and implement a new order with the population made dependent on the state for its survivability. There's no chance of any recovery from the system, period. It has to be replaced. Can't recover from it. Look at the world history. It'll help you clarify the real motivations behind the ideology. The international banking cartels, okay, they made a bid for world domination during the Napoleonic Wars. This is the same group. It's always the same people. We talk about them. They financed all sides of the wars to the point where Europe was so indebted to them that the nations had no way to repay in cash, which meant a compromise in the form of relinquishment and national sovereignty to the bankers. However, the Tsar of Russia got wind of this, and he bailed Europe out by paying off the international bankers to a point where the countries were no longer insolvent. The bankers were insanely angry. They were livid that he had done this. This is the Tsar of Russia. It was not the money they wanted, because they could print all the money they wanted out of phony currency. It was the power and the authority they desired to control Europe. The power a lender has to those indebted to them. That's what the Bible says, that the borrower serves the lender. Because the Tsar had foiled their plans, the bankers swore revenge on Russia and the royal family thereof. This actually happens. What happened? It was the international bankers that saw the potential in the German philosopher Karl Marx, who was basically unemployable in his time, but supported by the likes of such people as Ingalls, who provided the wherewithal for his ideas to go mainstream. The bankers pushed it again. It's always that cutout they use. He was used as the radical to launch the study of sociology, which has been dressed up in scientific research. All of his scattered writings, the only coherent piece was the Communist Manifesto he and Ingalls put together. The bankers pushed into public domain and then into Russia. It was Jacob Swift. It was Jacob Swift's gold that financed the Bolshevik Revolution, again brought to you by the bankers, that brought Stalin and Lenin to power, financed by the bankers, and the assassination of the Tsar and his family in Russia, brought to you by the bankers. Russia then went full communist and became the Soviet Union. The result, end result, is that Russia went from being wealthy enough to pay off international war debts to so broke it collapsed in a ruinous heap. The bankers got their revenge. And this is who does it all, guys. And you know, the problem is, it's the synagogue of Satan. You gotta call it out for who it is. But nobody wants to talk about it. I sent an article that I had written, you know, a brief summary of some of this stuff to one of my friends, who's another talk show host. And he goes, I don't want to hear about it. And the problem was this weekend, I got a bunch of texts in, emails in that Drudge, the giant news aggregator, was attacking Trump. And he has been attacking Trump. And he's been doing it for a long time. He always puts up negative Trump articles on his Drudge news site. But remember, Drudge was put into place via the Rothschilds. He is another front guy. He is completely controlled. He came out of nowhere, like I've talked about so many times, during the Monica Lewinsky problem with Bill Clinton. You know, he's a disinformation agent. He puts 80% truth up, 20% horrible stuff. He's a hardcore leftist homosexual. He's probably Mossad funded. He came out of nowhere with Monica Lewinsky, who was also a Mossad agent. I mean, this is what's going on, and they control the agenda. Drudge openly promotes the queer agenda, openly promotes it. He openly promotes the use of sex dolls on his website, and the sex dolls are openly being used now to basically reduce the population of the planet. And they're now going to go to AI, artificial intelligence, and the sex dolls. And they're going to become so lifelike that you're not going to be able to tell the difference. I mean, within 20 years, it's going to be crazy. And all of these guys that have been so basically rejected by women because they have been raised by dominant women who basically have forced their self-esteem into the toilet, they're going to shift over to sex dolls because they won't be rejected. I mean, this is what's going on right now with Drudge. Attacking Trump is just part of the narrative, the script. Trump's going to win in 2020. I'm telling you guys that right now. He will not be removed from office. They may impeach him through the House, but they'll never get it through the Senate. I've told you this all along. He is a Rothschild do-boy. I'm talking about Trump now. As long as he pushes the rebuilding of the Third Temple, he will be elected. That's what the entire Zionist movement has been about for 200 years, is the rebuilding of the temple. The Rothschilds want their Antichrist. They want the man of perdition on this planet to rule the planet. Zionists control our country through AIPAC, the Defamation League, the CFR, the United Nations, all of which were established by them. The international banking cartel / mafia runs the planet. The circus clown show of Washington is being used to keep us from seeing the real players behind the curtain. So we don't focus on 5G or Morgellons or chemtrails or autism or vaccines or GMOs or all the other poisons they're putting into our food supply, or the fact that fluoride is dumbing us down. Or the national debt, for heaven's sakes. Trump is an actor. We saw that. He had his own TV show for over a decade. He's an actor. He is a Rothschild cutout, just like J.P. Morgan. I personally believe that he is deeply in debt. And he's probably not even a billionaire. Remember, the billionaire persona is often used, look at Epstein. Because if you're a billionaire, you're, oh, he's a billionaire. Oh, he's got to make really good decisions. Oh, he must be a really good business guy. Oh, we need to listen to him. He can run the country. The billionaire persona is used many, many times. Look at Epstein. Why is Trump so desperate to prevent his personal tax returns from being seen? I have no idea. I mean, it's all a circus clown show. Trump has pushed red flag gun laws, and he has spoken against us via white privilege. He says one thing in his rallies, but then he does another. Why does he have so many CFR appointments? Why does he have so many Goldman Sachs appointments? Why is Hillary not locked up? Oh, here's why. Because she, too, is an actress on a stage. She's a caricature. I mean, she's a caricature. Sure, she could be. She's so ridiculous. The Rothschilds have spent billions to give her a name. They're not going to lock her up and render her character useless. All of these clowns via the bankers are being controlled by these demons and these other interdimensional entities that we've talked about so many times on the show. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against these entities. There is no political solution to a spiritual rot. Austin, I just pray that the eyes of America are open and we see who our captives are. We see what the Rothschilds did to Russia, to the Tsar, and how they managed to manipulate everything because of their bribes, payouts, and blackmails for hundreds of years, because we've allowed them to come in and control the money. And remember, in 1666, the fake Jewish Messiah came in, Sabbatai Zevi. He was a hardcore Satanist. He believed in inversion and turning everything upside down that God created. So if you said to fast, he would go in and he would gorge himself. If you'd say maintain purity and chastity, he would have massive orgies. This is who he was. He ended up basically bringing in and basically converting to becoming a Muslim before he died. He had over 1 million followers. He turned right around 100 years later, and Jacob Frank came out and said he was the reincarnation of Sabbatai Zevi. And he's the one who brought in the Rothschilds, and they're the ones who brought in the Illuminati, and they're the ones who brought in this New World Order, and they're the ones who brought us this current banking system, this Babylonian money magic that they've been using for thousands of years. And if you go back all the way back, it goes back to the ancient Canaanite religions of the worship of Baal, Moloch, and Asherah. That's who these guys are. It's the same group all the way through history, all the way to Genesis chapter 6, all the way to the fallen angels. That's what they practice, Kabbalah. They have the red string around the wrist because they worship these entities, this Jewish mysticism. And they've dragged a bunch of other Jews into the ditch with them. And the Bible even calls it out and says they claim to be Jews, but they are not. They are the synagogue of Satan. And that's who does this stuff, guys. It's the Luciferians. And that's why we can't be blaming all the Jews or the Christians or whatever. Because remember, George Bush is not Jewish. He's right in the middle of this stuff. Bill Clinton's not Jewish. He's right in the middle of it. Barack Obama's certainly not Jewish. He's right in the middle of all this stuff. But this synagogue of Satan, this group of evil people who run around, whose father was Lucifer, father of lies, Jesus called them out in the book of John. They're the ones that are still doing this and have done this for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. They're the ones that control the energy field around the planet via their abortions, their human sacrifices, and their satanic rituals. They're the ones who control the news. They're the ones that try to keep us all into a negative, desperate state in our brain to create as much energy as they possibly can to feed the interdimensional entities that are around us that the Bible talks about so vividly. This is what it's all about. And we've got to understand who our enemy is. And until we take away the Federal Reserve Bank's right to print funny money in our country, and we nationalize the Federal Reserve, and we return the control of money and the printing of money to the people, we the people of the United States, this stuff will never change, because these guys are capable of printing as much money as they want and bribing anyone they want. I read you that article last week where they printed $29 trillion. And we had to force them to tell us where the money went. And then we see it's all these international banks. Guys, it's what they do. It's what they've always done. And it's what they will continue to do. So don't get caught up in the circus clown act of Washington, D.C. And you say, well, you say Trump's going to win. Yeah, Trump's going to win. And at least we can look at his pretty wife instead of looking at Hillary Clinton, which is like a nightmare. I'd be like gagging myself every time I saw a picture of her on the news. At least he's going to win. And hopefully he's got enough people praying for him that he'll try to do a few things he possibly can against their wishes. Because I'll say one thing about it. Controlling the narrative on both sides and continually attacking him has been extremely effective in brainwashing almost the entire patriot base that voted for Trump into believing that he's the hero and he's the savior, when in fact he's not. We cannot fix spiritual rot via political solution. It's going to take a revival in the bringing of our Lord Jesus Christ back into prominence in this country, in stopping Hollywood from assailing him constantly with their filthy movies and their filthy rhetoric. That's how I feel, Austin, on this Monday morning. What do you think, buddy, and what's your next story?
That's really well said. And I mean, in what you talked about as far as with the communist agenda, it's really important that people understand that's exactly what they're trying to do here. And when you start looking at what's happening in the United States, it's almost an identical mirror of what happened with the communist revolution. And what you see with the Democrats pushing this rhetoric that they're constantly talking about, he said, that said, in the media, it's constantly one thing after another. This is why we said two and a half years ago, when the whole Russian collusion thing started, we both called it as soon as it happened. Dad and I talked about it on the show repeatedly back in 2017. Said, this isn't going to go anywhere. This is going to sit in the media for 1 to 2 to 3 years. It's going to stew. They're going to talk about it every single day, inside and out, completely and totally overwhelm the population with this until they can't stretch it out any longer and they have to find a new crisis to put in place. But in the meantime, they throw in little bits of, you know, false flag shootings and other situations in there to keep everybody occupied because everybody, his attention span's gotten so short now in the United States, and now they're doing this whole impeachment aspect. Trump's never going to get impeached because the Senate has to vote basically 75% if it even gets to the Senate. It's political suicide if they did that. They're never going to do it. This whole impeachment thing is a complete and total sham. It's literally like going to the circus and watching the elephants and the lions and things run around and people on the tightrope. It's just entertainment. It's people enjoy it because it's like fear porn. They're, oh, Trump's about to get impeached. Oh, we can't let, we're a Republican. The Democrats go, oh, yeah, he's about to get impeached. Oh, heck yeah, we're a Democrat. Oh, and they back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And it gives friction. It gives something for people to talk about on a regular basis. Even the fact that I'm bringing it up right now is honestly embarrassing to me. But this is what it does, and it keeps the population constantly at each other's throats. Remember, you have to pit blacks against the whites against the blacks, Hispanics against the whites, everybody against everybody, and there has to be continual anarchy and anger and aggression on a regular basis for things that don't matter whatsoever. It's not a direct conflict to you. It's not a serious problem that you're having to deal with right now. It's just something to constantly put in the media so they can put it in the back of your head like a seed and plant it and wait for it to grow so they can incite more violence and more anger and more aggression from individuals. And in most cases, you don't even know what you're angry about. It's simply because the media has brainwashed you. I mean, look what we've done with the social welfare system now. I mean, we now have California has gotten so bad with the homeless issue out there. Where a couple weeks ago, I talked about the governor, the horrible governor they have out there, the one that signed, 15 new gun laws into effect, including the 5-year red flag gun law now, has been requesting federal funds now to help out with the homeless problem. Because California is so broke, they're so indebted, even though they have the highest state income tax, they have the highest sales tax, they have pretty much the highest taxation of any state in the entire country, yet they still can't fix the problem. Because this is what happens when you allow people to continually fudge the numbers and control the money as the bankers have done. And now we're seeing down here in Florida, even as wealthy as Florida is and how much tourism we have down here in Florida, now we're starting to see issues with homelessness down in Miami. They're now saying that there are issues with homelessness as far as with individuals urinating and defecating on the street is becoming more and more and more problematic now. They're talking about upwards of almost 6,000 individuals are homeless now in the Miami city area. 6,000. Now, granted, L.A. has, I think, like 68,000 now in L.A. However, L.A. is massive over there, and the population's huge. But that's what's happening down here in Miami now. And this should never be happening down in Miami. This is a very affluent area down there. There's a lot of money down there. But see, when you continually bring in populations from other countries, and you basically fund them to get there, you give them money to get there, and then after a few years, you yank all that funding, and then the general population and the general government has to sit and take all those people over, this is what you continue to have. And this is what we see a lot in California, what we've seen in Texas, what we've seen in Florida. So understand what's going on. Do the best you can to wake up people on what's going on. Also, too, I always tell you guys, be prepared for anything. Over the weekend, over here in Lakeland, we had a tropical storm that was essentially just going up to the panhandle. It wasn't even that big of a deal. A little bit of a storm coming in, some rain. Well, all of a sudden on Saturday, we had a massive tornado drop down in Lakeland, about 15 miles from where I'm at. Ended up knocking a semi-truck over, tipped him over on I-4, completely shut down traffic, ran through a bunch of houses, knocked a bunch of buildings, houses down over there. I mean, it was like an 85-mile-an-hour tornado out of nowhere. This is why I continue to tell everybody, make sure you have preparations at in store at all times. This is just random over here in Lakeland, Florida, little central Florida. Big old tornado ran through. I mean, all the way up. Whoop. And then we had, and then of course, if you guys already saw as well, Dallas had a massive tornado that popped out of nowhere without warning. 111 mile an hour wind tornado, which is, I mean, devastating. And they said over 175,000 people lost power. Around 60,000 of those were in Dallas area. And they're still trying to find people. There's debris, trailers, buildings that are twisted up. They can't find, I mean, they can't even find a lot of people right now. And it's out of nowhere. So and the reason why I say that isn't, again, to live in fear, isn't to sit around and go, oh my gosh, there's maybe a tornado that may show up at some point in time. No, that's garbage. That's garbage. It's not a way to live at all. But it's to have the ability to have some tools, to have some new gear, have some stuff at all times, including food, water, water bottles, making sure you have water filtration. So if something like that does happen, you're not completely and totally unsure what to do at that point in time, because you have no idea what's going on and you weren't prepared for it. So just my take on it. Also, too, in other health news, I wanted to talk about this as well. This is an email, a topic that I get asked a lot. A lot of people send me emails on multiple sclerosis. And if you guys understand, I'll mention it real quick. Essentially, what happens is that disease takes place when the immune system mistakes the myelin sheath, which is the sheath around the central nervous system of the body, as a disease-causing substance. You basically, your body starts eating its own myelin sheath, in a nutshell. The issue that we're finding now with this, and this is very common, I've gotten this from a lot of people, a lot of emails that I've helped people out and so forth, is that they're now showing that around 1 out of 5 patients diagnosed with MS have different medical conditions that share similar symptoms, but they do not have actual MS. The issue that they're finding here was a research study done by the University of California, Los Angeles, of all places, and the University of Vermont. They evaluated 241 instances of patients who received diagnosis for multiple sclerosis. The patients visited 2 academic medical centers in L.A. They were referred to hospitals by the healthcare professionals in L.A. clinics. The diagnosis of MS, they went on to say, is tricky, the doctor said, because both the symptoms and the MRI testing results can look like conditions such as a stroke, migraines, or even vitamin B deficiency. The studies sought to find out how many people were misdiagnosed with multiple sclerosis. The results showed that many of the patients diagnosed underwent treatment for a non-existent disease they didn't even have. Furthermore, unnecessary treatment continued for up to 4 years in some individuals before healthcare providers finally caught on to their error. Casey and the UVM colleague, Dr. Nancy Scott, found that the migraine was the most common condition mistaken for multiple sclerosis. Next came radiologically isolated syndrome, where the MRI scan diagnosed the patients with a chronic disease despite not displaying any symptoms associated with MS. The study showed that 72% of the patients misdiagnosed with multiple sclerosis took pharmaceutical drugs to treat a disease they never had. Of that number, close to half, 48%, underwent untreatment and surgeries that resulted in progressive issues. The uncommon issue they saw as far as while they misdiagnosed participants spent almost $10 million in unneeded pharmaceutical drugs, many of which cause severe conditions and side effects. The reason why I bring this up is this happens all the time with multiple sclerosis. In a lot of cases, if you start looking at what's going on, you have significant deficiencies, whether it be magnesium, whether it be B12, whether it be blood sugar problems, whether it be blood circulation problems, whether it be inflammation, which is a huge one, inflammation problems. And so I encourage people, if you feel like you're having these, you know, symptoms, give us a call and we'll be happy to give you some supplemental advice and nutritional advice. When you start going into the medical industrial complex with the doctors and they start doing this, as you guys clearly see here by these numbers, they don't know what they're doing half the time. In some cases, 4 years the patients underwent surgeries and pharmaceutical drugs for 4 years before doctors finally caught on to the fact that they actually didn't have multiple sclerosis. This is very, very common with this diagnosis. And understand, once you get wrapped up in this model, it's a very hard one to get out of. And if you can catch that and see what's going on and see if it's, you know, you're an inflammation response, if it's the food you're eating, if it's GMOs, if you have some type of allergy, if you're deficient in nutrients, there's all types of things that I would recommend you do before you start going on all these pharmaceutical drugs and all these just procedures that they want you to do on that. And again, that's my opinion. But if you guys want nutritional advice or diet advice, be sure to give us a call. We'll be happy to help you out. The biggest thing you have to do, if you're having any of these symptoms like that, make sure you're cutting out any of the inflammatory foods, making sure you're staying off sugar, caffeine, alcohol, and making sure you're adding in a good anti-inflammatory supplement like our Turmeric Force that we have on sale right now. Turmeric is incredibly good anti-inflammatory supplement, and in most cases, a lot of times, people mistake simple chronic inflammation due to their diet. So I've personally seen, and they blame MS for it, and in a lot of cases, individuals don't even have the disease that they're taking medication for, and that's a very sad place to be, Dev.
You know, many studies have come out now linking multiple sclerosis and vitamin D, as in dog deficiency, D3.
Yep.
And I had a friend of mine years ago, he told me that the primary cause of MS was a demyelination that was being caused by a lack of vitamin D, because apparently the calcium is being used to produce the myelination around the nerves. And if you don't have sufficient quantities of vitamin D, especially when you're younger, that myelin's never formed properly. This is why it's so important, if you're a woman and you're pregnant, that you take vitamin D. In fact, I just posted an article by Andrew Solomon, MD, that's called Multiple Sclerosis and Vitamin D. And he goes in to say, why is vitamin D and what is vitamin D and why is it so important in MS? And it says that vitamin D is a hormone, is a vitamin that acts like a hormone in the human body. And it talks about all the different relationships and how higher levels of vitamin D need to be, and how a lot of the participants who were being involved as far as being diagnosed with MS had low vitamin D levels. So guys, again, it goes back to the old adage, you know, a pound of prevention is worth, you know, 100 pounds of cure. I mean, if you know you need to have your vitamin D at a certain level, if you know it helps reduce the risks of flu, if you know it helps to maintain a healthy immune system, if you know it is all of this stuff, why aren't you taking vitamin D? There's so much global dimming now with the geoengineering that's going on, the chemtrails, that so many people aren't getting sufficient quantities of vitamin D being produced by the cholesterol in their skin. It doesn't happen. Or they're wearing sunscreens, or they're walking around with an umbrella in bright sunlight because they don't want to be in the sun, or they're walking around with long sleeve shirts on and they're not getting sun. All of these things are okay if you're really trying to be concerned about getting too much sun, but you got to have sunlight. I mean, you've got to have sunlight. And guys, it's so important that you understand that your body will make the vitamin D, but if you're using sunscreen, if you're staying in the shade, if you're staying out of the sun, if you don't get any sun, if you're as pasty as a pack of cotton balls because you haven't had sun in 25 years, you probably have a vitamin D deficiency if you haven't been taking vitamin D. So get it tested on a regular basis at your doctor's office. Make sure you always take D3 with K2. That's so important. That prevents calcification of the arteries. Because if you get too much calcium in your diet and you're taking too much D3, you will calcify your arteries. You ever heard the term hardening of the arteries? That's from inorganic calcium being absorbed into your blood system through your digestive tract and being deposited in your soft tissue, including your arteries. And a lot of that's due to not having sufficient quantities of K2. That's why it's so important that you drink water that doesn't have calcium carbonate dissolved in it. You don't need to be drinking water that has dissolved rock. When I clean my distillation tank on my distiller here at the house, I clean it about every 4 to 5 months. I literally have to get a hammer out and a chisel, and I've got to cut the calcium carbonate out of the bottom of my holding tank. I mean, it's filled up with calcium, with rock, and that was in my well water, guys. And the problem is, if I had not gotten that water, that calcium out of that water, that would have been deposited in my soft tissue. I drank all that water. All the water that I drank came from that distiller, and that distiller has all that deposit in it. If you go to my website, I will show you, there's a video that I have posted. It's like 10 seconds long. Watch it. And it's me cleaning the boil tank. You can feel this stuff. It crinkles in my hand. It's like, it's rock. And this is the same stuff that doctors sometimes cut their latex gloves on when they're doing coronary bypass surgery, because the arteries have hardened. That's why it's called hardening of the arteries. You get this calcium carbonate built up inside of the arteries. That's why it's so critical that you don't drink water that contains dissolved minerals. That's why you should never drink mineral water. Ever. Don't do it. Okay. You might want to soak in it. That's okay, like we do with the bath salts, but you don't sit there and start guzzling it. You don't do that. And so it's important that we understand that we have to avoid ingesting calcium through our water supply. I can't be any more direct with that. Also, we need to understand that, the distillation systems are phenomenal. And we've got a coupon right now that's active. I think it's HR5, so you get a 5% discount on it. I think it's active through today. So if you want to get a distillation system, get one. By the way, let's talk about Jim Fetzer for a second. I talked about this last week briefly, but I've got to talk about this for a second because this show trial that he had reminds me of the show trials that the SS and the Nazis used to do before they take people out and shoot them. This is what they did. I mean, they would take pastors and priests outside. They'd give them a show trial so they couldn't be charged with murder and basically find them guilty and then shoot them. So they were tried through a real court of law. And you think, well, was it a real court of law? No, it was a kangaroo court. It didn't mean anything. Fetzner, basically, he had to defend himself against Lenny Posner's libel lawsuit. And what happened is he said, Posner said that he developed PTSD because Fetzner said in one of his books, one of his writings, that he was running around showing everybody a fake death certificate from his son. Now, the thing that people don't realize, this entire courtroom drama was carefully scripted and controlled to ensure that the jury, as well as the onlookers and reporters, only got to hear one side of the story. Fetzner was never allowed to present his defense that the death certificate was fake. I mean, Fetzner's defense was simple. The truth is an absolute defense against libel. And Fetzner published statements alleged by Posner to be libels because he believed them to be true. What's more, he still believes them to be true, whether he's right or not, who knows. I'm not going to say anything about Sandy Hook. I'm not going to go into that. But, you know, you have to understand, Fetzner took the stand. He swore to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. And then they silenced him over and over and over, and the judge continually admonished him. And finally, the jury was hurriedly chased out of the room when he tried to speak about the truth as he saw it. They ran the jury out of the room. And they would not allow him to present his defense that the death certificates was a fake. Now, you know, it's unbelievable. I mean, you know, he was never allowed to present jury the evidence that led him to believe that Sandy Hook was an Operation Gladiole Psychop. He never was allowed to do any of this stuff. Now you think, wait a minute, this can't happen. Oh yeah, it can. Again, it goes back to the judge. You know, you gotta understand something, guys. You know, if the judge doesn't like what you're talking about, he can stop you. And if the other attorney isn't willing enough or trained enough to step up with a court case which prevents the judge from doing this, the judge will just continue doing whatever he wants to do. And even if the judge hears the other attorney say what he's doing is incorrect, he could still say no, he's not going to do it that way. He's going to do whatever he wants, especially in a federal court system. You know, we think about this for a second. Let's look at the court's logic here. You know, so many people wrote books after World War II, and they said the Germans were villains, all right? They were villains. They did a lot of bad things, and the SS and Gestapo did a bad thing. Well, the reason that these people weren't dragged into court because this was general accepted knowledge. And see, you don't have the ability to do that in most cases. Say, well, I don't agree with this. Now, if they had sued a German if a German person had sued them for saying that they were a villain, then they could come up and start proving they were a villain or they weren't a villain. But this didn't happen with this. Okay? Now, remember, guys, I'm not making any judgments on Sandy Hook or any of these crazy shootings that we have that are happening around the country and how the shooting in Las Vegas when they released the cameras from the guys who breached the room found that the window wasn't even broken out. I mean, this is the weird stuff that we get, but nobody talked about it. Or the doctor who in Orlando with the gay nightclub shooting later found out that she wasn't a doctor and she made everything up and no media talked about it because the media had already set the directive and the narrative of what they wanted to have happen. All of these things are really, really sketchy as far as what people believe and what people find out. Are they all crisis actors? I don't think so. Do some people actually get shot? I believe so. Is it what we are told when it all happens? I don't believe that's true at all. I believe that in many cases, these are Operation Gladio type events. I'm not going to pick one or pick another or whatever, in which we're told a certain narrative, especially that Parkland shooting down in Florida. That whole thing was so full of holes, it was ridiculous. And you think, and what's craziest thing is, in the one guy who's walking to the Walmart is spotted by a Shabbat center. Imagine that. And they call the police, say, oh, here's the guy who was doing the shooting. And yet, when you watch the video, there's a group of, like, looks like an assault team loading a bunch of duffel bags at the back of a pickup truck and scurrying around from the helicopter videos. But why wasn't that ever talked about? Or the teacher said, well, they were shooting a very different type of weapon, and they were, like, running around in full body armor, and it was basically more than one. Isn't that strange how there's always more than one shooter? But yet the media always says it's the lone nut gunman. Oh, guys, these things are so ridiculous. It's absolutely ludicrous that we actually are told this stuff. And what's even more ludicrous is that people still believe it. By the way, I'm starting to like this Tulsi Gabbard. Now, I'm not going to vote for her. Obviously, she's a Democrat. She'll never get the nomination. But she and Clinton have been changing some serious, serious things. Clinton basically said she was a Russian agent, which is stupid. And she did say something that I absolutely agree with. She responded this last weekend. She called Clinton the queen of warmongers, the embodiment of corruption, and the personification of the rot that has sickened the Democratic Party for so long. She dared Clinton to get in the race directly instead of cowardly hiding behind proxies. And I guess she doesn't understand how the world works. This lady was a major in the military. She was a Gulf War veteran. And she basically has had enough of the Democratic Party. Now, we'll see how long she stays relevant, how long the news will continue to post stuff like this about her. And we have to pray that she doesn't commit suicide. Yeah, did I say that? I did, didn't I? Yeah, because I don't think she's suicidal. In fact, I'm pretty guaranteed she's not suicidal. So, guys, it's strange to me when people go after the Clinton war machine, which is complete and total Rothschild controlled, that, you know, it's one of those things that we have to understand that these people take their lives in their own hands and lives are at risk. Look at Seth Rich. Look at Seth Rich. And nothing has come of that because they don't want anything to come of that because the media won't push it. Remember, the only way a lot of this stuff gets pushed out of the public realm or into the basically the court system is the media has to continually push it so that the people who are the, how should I say, the pawns in the game, the slaves, the sheeple, continually contact their congressional leaders to try to force an inquiry. And when that happens, many times, you know, charges are filed. You know, now they're finding that Hillary apparently didn't do anything wrong with all of her email stuff. That happened this past weekend, which is real special, too. They always like to release this stuff on the weekends when the whole world doesn't go into uproar about it. But, guys, it's so important that we understand that we are pawns in a game, like William Guy Carr said, and these guys are playing with us. It's a mind game. Don't allow them to do it to you. Austin, what do you think of what's your next story?
Well said, well said. And I mean, and I just wanted to reiterate the fact of what you talked about when it kind of shows you how the narrative is lost with some of these shootings that they constantly like to portray as these, as Dad said, these lone gun shooters. It was Catherine McCarthy over in Orlando who basically was charged criminally after she basically made false claims of being a RN and also basically being a medical doctor and basically stating that it was an assembly line at the hospital. She removed 77 bullets from 30 people and went into detail about hearing, you know, cell phones in people's pockets when they were on the assembly line, when they were pulling bullets from them and all this other stuff, only come to find out that it was all completely and totally made up. She was an RN up until 2005 when her license had expired. She was never licensed as a physician. She worked basically at a hospital years and years and years ago and hasn't done so in a very long time and completely made everything up. 100% total fallacy. Yet nobody discussed the aspects of the truth of what was going on with that shooting. Everybody just goes, oh, well, she got in trouble for this and she blamed it on, well, she wanted to be a part of the community and she wanted to feel like she helped. So if that notion's really true, you're telling me that it's normal now, that's okay, for people to flat out go on national television? That's what you do when you want to be feeling like you're part of the community. You get on national television after an alleged mass shooting and bold-faced lie to the entire world and say basically you were a doctor and an RN and you were at the assembly line pulling bullets out of people. I call BS on that. Excuse that vernacular, but that was complete and total garbage that they came up with for this. What happened was she was a crisis actor. She was paid to do exactly what she did. She was paid to go on national television and say what she was supposed to say, and she got busted for it when somebody finally came out and said, that lady's not an RN. You know, she may have been an RN, you know, 20 years ago. She's not an RN now. And she got busted. And so she had to try to come clean and twist it and try to make the whole story into she wanted attention and she wanted to feel like she was part of the community. And again, how many times have we seen this? And I know a lot of people say, well, next big conspiracy theory or this or that. I have seen so many photos and so many videos of the exact same people or people that look exactly the same crisis actors in the same different places at completely different shootings on completely different areas of the United States. That's not coincidental. And sometimes they get busted, sometimes they don't. So understand what's going on when these situations occur, because I'm sure this isn't going to stop. I mean, we have this whole aspect of gun confiscation and gun control that's constantly being pushed. And that's why I always tell everybody, be armed. If you can legally do so, always be prepared with a firearm. Not because necessarily you need to protect yourself. Because I know a lot of guys, I mean, like myself, dad, individuals I know, retired military, especially if you've trained years in martial arts and hand-to-hand, you know, in most cases, you're probably not going to get in a situation where you actually truly have to have a gun just to protect yourself. Realistic aspect. But it's not just about that. It's about your family. It's about your children. It's about your friends. It's about the individual or the girl at the gas station pump that's basically being verbally or sexually or physically assaulted when nobody's looking because the lights go out and the power goes out and you're the only one around that knows what's going on and she's about to get killed and you have to try to do something to protect her, and there might be one, two, three people. You are called to higher calling as a citizen, especially an armed citizen, to protect people in need that can't help themselves in a situation like that. That's what a lot of this is about, and that's what so many people fail to realize. They think, oh, well, these guys just want guns so they can run around and act like they're, you know, tough guys and this and that. Guys, no, absolutely not. You don't need a gun to feel like a tough guy. If you need to feel, if you really want to know how to defend yourself, hand-to-hand combat, jiu-jitsu, street fighting is one of the best things that I highly encourage anybody that wants to know how to be able to defend yourself to do. Because in most cases, fights end up going to the ground. In a lot of cases, you probably don't even need lethal force in order to defend yourself. I'm just being honest with you guys right now. I've seen it, been involved in it numerous times. Most cases, you don't need a gun to defend yourself. However, if there's multiple individuals that are not even attacking you, they're attacking somebody else, that's a whole different story to be involved in, especially if they have a weapon. So understand what's going on with the entire community right now. Understand that the media is trying to build as much anger and hatred as possible. And understand that when this stuff starts to escalate, it's going to escalate quickly. Once this stuff hits, it's not going to be something that kind of happens here, there, there. It's going to be like a powder keg, and it's going to have a daisy chain reaction. It's going to go one off after another off after another off after another off. And the people that are prepared and ready are going to be the ones that can really help promote a constitutional republic in the future, especially if we start having issues really collapse this country. And again, that's not something I really enjoy talking about, but it's definitely something that people need to be aware of. And also, too, in other news, this is something that, again, you see the mainstream media is all wrapped up in their clown circus act. Now, we have David Farnsworth, who's a Republican state senator in Arizona, has now come out now and has discussed that he has evidence explaining how over 550 children in Arizona last year alone that were in CPS, Child Protective Services, have vanished without a trace, and he says they're being trafficked. The conservative Republican is convinced that the Arizona Department of Child Safety is facilitating the global sex trafficking of children removed from parents called by police by Child Protective Protective Services. Senator David Farnsworth, a Republican, filed a report with the Arizona Department of Public Safety this week accusing Senator Kate Brobey McKee, also in Phoenix, of threatening him if he did not stop investigating the outrageous claim. And so this is something we've talked about numerous times, how Child Protective Services has been involved and allegedly be involved in a lot of this stuff. And this is why we have to bring topics like this up. Regardless if it's in Arizona or California or Florida, doesn't matter. These things have to be exposed, because while the mainstream media is so concerned about what all the circus clown acts going on, there's children that are being trafficked all over the entire country, all over the entire world. And a lot of them, they could be prevented, at least in my opinion, if we were to expose a lot of the stuff that's going on. We just, it's not fun to talk about it, but it has to be brought up. Because if we just sit back and we put our heads in the sand, we go, oh, we're going to pretend it's not happening. We're going to pretend we're in Neverland. Just click my shoes together and say, hey, oh, it's no place like home. It'll never happen here. It'll never happen here. Guys, that's not the way to handle it. At least, the very least, try to expose this stuff for what's going on. Bring it up. Talk about it. Try to wake other people up about it, and if best, try to get involved with something so you can help prevent this from happening, because it's a serious problem in this country, and a lot of people choose to ignore it, Dad.
Well, the Child Protective Services thing has long been known to be a trafficking through the United Nations and throughout the world. I mean, you get a good-looking girl who's 13, 14 years old, and she's kind of wild, and you say, well, hey, I'll tell you what, we'll get you out of here. All you got to do is, you know, hop in this van here in the middle of the night and just sneak out of your room, and we'll get you out of this horrible place. There you go. Now they're gone. Over 500 just gone. Or these young boys, and you got to remember, these kids aren't realizing what's going to happen to them. They're not realizing they could be used for sex slaves. They're not realizing they could be used for sacrifices. They're not realizing that they could be used to be mules and to handle drugs and to be run. They don't understand any of this stuff. And guys, ask yourself the question: where do all these kids go on the milk cartons that you never hear from again? You know, they've got all these places. They used to have, I don't know if Walmart still does, but they used to have a whole wall in Walmart of all of these children who disappeared. And you never hear happy on these stories. You never hear, you can't say you never. Every once in a while you'll hear that somebody's found. But in the vast majority of cases, these kids never come forward. They don't come forward when they're 21 or 22 or 25 years old and say, oh, by the way, that's me on the milk carton. I'm okay now. They don't do that. They don't contact their parents, say, I'm home now. They just go away. They just disappear, never to be heard from again. Guys, there's some real sick people on this planet. We're not going to talk about what they do, but there's some sick people, and they pay big money to do sick things. And you have to understand that there is a market for this. You say, well, that's not true, Ted. There's not a market. Okay. There's not a market for baby parts either, is there? Now, there's not a market with Planned Parenthood being basically caught, you know, under camera selling baby parts and dead babies. There's no market for that, is there? They don't use baby parts and flavor enhancers. They don't do any of that, do they? And they sure wouldn't put baby parts and fetal cells in immunizations. They wouldn't do that either. Multi-billion-dollar industry in dead babies. I mean, that's some sick crap, guys, that we actually are involved in stuff like that in this country. And everybody just gives a collective shrug, like, oh, well, it's okay. You know, why don't you go ahead and just, you know, read. I was talking to somebody this weekend, and they were talking about how, in fact, I'm not going to mention who it was. You'll know who it was. I'm not going to mention. But I was talking about how, you know, they were thinking about going into the military, and they want to try to have, you know, a waiver as an officer as far as immunizations. And I said, well, what you need to do is just get a copy of the list of ingredients in these things, including, you know, fetal cells and aluminum and squalene, and just say, I don't want this stuff injected into me. And they go, oh, no, you have to have some kind of credible reason. And I'm like, wait a minute. That's not credible enough that you don't want to have dead babies injected into you? You know, what's the credibility? Where does the credibility have to go? Then you find thousands and thousands of research studies saying how bad this stuff is. I mean, how much credibility do you need for this stuff? Anyhow, this is ridiculous. By the way, the State Department, I talked about it a second ago, said it found nearly 600 security violations in the Clinton's email review. However, she's basically innocent. This is unbelievable. This investigation conducted by the State Department's Bureau of Diplomatic Security found 38 individuals were culpable for 91 security violations. Another 497 violations were found, but no individuals were culpable in these incidences. So you have 497 security violations with over an exchange of 60,000 emails, but basically nobody's culpable as far as, you know, any kind of criminal investigation. You're thinking to yourself, well, what the heck? You know, of course, that Donald remains quiet because, again, like I mentioned earlier, they spent too much money to make this actress, this person, this part of Hillary Clinton too well known. 38 people were cited for violations of the Clinton email probe. But let me tell you about this. The investigation launched more than 3 years ago determined that these 38 people were culpable in 91 cases of sending classified information that ended up in Clinton's personal email, according to his letter sent to Republican Chuck Grassley this week and released on Friday. Of course, they always release it on Friday. The 38 are current and former State Department employees but are not identified. Of course, we don't know who these people are that are culpable, which is kind of crazy. Now, listen to this. Although the report identified violations, it said investigators had found no persuasive evidence of systemic, deliberate mishandling of classified information. What? However, it also made clear that Clinton's use of the private email had increased the vulnerability of classified information. Clinton spokesperson Nick Merrill said in a tweet Saturday, "For the upteenth time, the email story is put to bed with clear recognition it was a pointless crusade that took away from many other issues." Now, you think, what the heck? What are they going to do to these people that were found culpable? It says, for current and former officials, culpability means the violations will be noted in their files. Are you listening? Talk to me, Charlie. The violations will be noted in their files and will be considered when they apply or to go have their security clearances renewed. For current officials, there could also be some kind of disciplinary action, but it wasn't immediately clear what that would be. It'll be one of those, shame on you, shame on you. Okay, let's go down the road. We're done now. What? You guys, think about this. Where the heck is justice? If you and I broke into a secured system and we started sending out, oh, guess what? We don't have to really think about that, do we? Let's look at Julian Assange rotting to death in a prison in England.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. How about Julian Assange and all he did was tell the truth about what this Democratic Party was doing with their soul-cooking adventures and drinking to their blood? And the Podesta emails and all the weird stuff about sacrificing a chicken to Moloch in the backyard. All this crazy, crazy stuff. And he's rotting in a prison, isn't he? And he didn't lie about anything. He just released the information these nutbags were doing to the public domain so we could see who they really were. And he pretty much single-handedly prevented Hillary Clinton from becoming president of the United States. Oh, that was his crime, wasn't it? She was going to be the real Rothschild Du Bois. At least President Trump occasionally has a, you know, a moment of clarity in which he tries to fix something or try to do something different than they want. And of course, he gets eviscerated every time he does that. But the reality is, he's still culpable. Because why isn't she locked up? Why isn't Hillary Clinton locked up for all the... What about Benghazi? What the heck? What about IRS Gate? What about Fast and the Furious? What about all the stuff that Obama was involved in? Why hasn't anybody been held accountable for any of this stuff? Well, because they're not supposed to be held accountable. They spent too much money putting the gay Kenyan and his transgender wife, according to Joan Rivers, into office and letting them supposedly have carte blanche rule over the United States for the past 8 years. But now we know that the presidents really don't make the big decisions, do they? They're told what to do. They're reading that script like so many of the other congressmen do on such a regular basis. I mean, you stop and think about this stuff, and you got to just thank yourself that you're a Christian, that you believe in the Most High God, and that you're just passing through here. And you can sit back, and you just kind of laugh about it, and you go, wow, these people are really something else. And now we've got the group of witches here running around that are going to basically try to put a curse on Trump during Halloween, which, of course, these guys are just really a hoot. Witch hunt. Occult Trump opponents are planning a Halloween spell to bind Trump. All right. Okay, I'm going to say something about this. Now, this is going to be kind of an interesting thing. You know, how can Satan stand against Satan? You see, you're saying Donald Trump, Satan? No, I never said that. I never said that. I said, how can Satan stand against Satan? You know, they were telling us about Jesus in the New Testament. Let's use Jesus. They said that Jesus was casting out demons, and then they said that he had a demon, and he was being controlled by Beelzebub. They said this, read it in the New Testament. And then finally they said, well, how can, you know, Satan cast out Satan? I mean, how can one house divided stand? Guys, think about this for a second. You know, the Rothschilds control both sides of the houses. They control all of this narrative. And so it's crazy to me that people get caught up in all of this stuff and they start saying, oh my gosh, oh no, oh no. No, it's all smoke and mirrors. Let's stop for 1 second. Let's jump off into some international politics. You know, look at the uprising all over the world now. A lot of it's due to the International Monetary Fund and basically these corporate raiders that have come in and taken over these countries through the Rothschild banking cartel. At least 8 dead in Chile after looters torch a garment factory as Metro Fair riots continue in the capital, Santiago, throughout the weekend. Protesters and the violence in Chile raged through Saturday night, Sunday night, despite the president canceling a subway fare rise that had prompted violent demonstrations. Guys, let me ask you a question. Who owns almost all of the toll roads and all of these groups of the subways and all the stuff? It's the same people who own everything. They own it. Hey, has anyone ever said to any of you, by the way, we're going to put a parkway in through your area, and we need investors, and you're going to get 20-30% return on your investment immediately within a few years when this place gets paid off, and we're not going to ever give this toll road back to the people, to the state, to be covered under your tax dollars? We're not going to do that. We're going to continue to charge you tolls forever and ever. Amen. And if you don't want to pay the tolls, you can ride on the public highways with 18-inch deep potholes and blow out your axles and blow out tires. But you'll never get this doggone toll road paid off because we're going to continue to do upgrades and improvements on it so we can continue to make our 20% ROI, return on their investment. So guys, think about who controls all of these prices and all of this stuff. You say, well, this is a state-owned subway system, all right? The state owns billions and billions of dollars to the Rothschild banking cartel. Let's do an indirect approach. They got to make all these payments from all this debt they have for all of the basically looters and corporate raiders that came into Chile and all these other countries in South America. So they've got to do everything they can do to possibly remain solvent. It's always the same people that do this to everybody. It's what happens. And the sad part about it is, Austin, many of these South American states, they're so steeped in communism and socialism because they've been indoctrinated via these systems that they don't understand what real freedom is, like we used to have in the United States before 1913. I mean, before we had this Federal Reserve giant vampire blood-sucking squid on top of us. I mean, we've got to rid ourselves of that if we're ever, ever, ever going to get past this. I mean, soldiers are actually patrolling the streets of Chile's capital for the first time since the military dictatorship of Augusto Pinochet ended in 1990. The military presence is part of a state emergency declared by President Sebastián Piñera in response to the student-led protests against the rise of subway fares that has paralyzed Santiago. Protesters have set several subway stations on fire. That really helps. It really helps to burn the subway stations you're protesting on because then somebody has to pay to fix them. They don't get that. They've damaged dozens of others as part of their action. Now, it's like these guys who riot in some of these major cities, and they burn down. They're minorities primarily who riot, and they go into their own hometown, their own home areas, and they burn down the stores of the minority owners. Like, that's going to help anything. Think through who's pushing the buttons and what they're doing. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you. I'll also go ahead and close it up. I'll do the write-up, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. And I had the privilege of praying for you already this morning.
Thank you guys again for the continued support, and be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter. If you guys need anything, give us a call, 1-800-726-1834. Lots of stuff going on right now, including the product of the week, the joint rebuilding formula, super popular product, and also too, be sure to check out the other products that are up for product of the week as far as you can vote on them and vote and see which ones wins on Wednesday. Also too, the HR5, the Hagman Report coupon, HR5, is active right now. It's 5% off all regular priced products. So be sure if you want to use that, use it today. I think it's going to be ending either tomorrow. So yes, absolutely, guys. Thank you for the support. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.